Am I unmuted? Thank you for the, want to first of all say what a great privilege it is to worship with you all. It's really nice to see your faces, especially those, I mean, that I know and love so much, but those of you that I haven't yet met in person, I've been wanting to, I've been longing to come out to Union Church and to the West Amen or the East Amen, both haven't been able to do that in a few years. So it's good to see you all, and Lord willing, we'll have opportunity in the future to meet together in person. But for right now, I'm thankful for this opportunity. Also thankful for the song service, and I feel blessed by that this evening, and thankful for that wonderful prayer. What's been on my mind for the, well, I guess for a while since Brother James asked me to try to preach to you this evening, I had an opportunity to read a poem that was written by Elder J.A. Rouse Sr. Recently, and it was based out of, it, he took the poem that he wrote, and he was a wonderful writer, wrote a lot of wonderful hymns or poems that became hymns. He wrote this one based on what's found in the book of Ruth. And then that touched me deeply. And I love the book of Ruth. It is always been one of my go-to favorite books for many years. And then knowing that I was about to try to preach to and with a church in a city named Ruth, I mean, it certainly stirred up my mind. So I pray the Lord is in the matter and that we can look in the book of Ruth. There's so many wonderful lessons that can be found in this book. But I want to look particularly on something that we can glean. Gleaning is a big deal in the book of Ruth, of course, that we can glean from this book for us today as the Church of Jesus Christ. This is such a beautiful, true story. There was this damsel named Ruth, this man named Boaz, lived, loved, and this is became, our Lord Jesus Christ was born of their union, of their marriage. But it also is recorded for us in Scripture, not just because it is a great story, and not just because the Lord Jesus Christ would be born as a descendant of Boaz and Ruth, but because there are spiritual lessons for us that we can take and apply in our lives. And there's a lot, and don't have any intention to try to preach on all of it by any stretch of the imagination. But what I want us to do as the church, and it's been heavy on my mind to study about and preach about the church, because because of the circumstances that we have found ourselves in this year, it's more important than ever that the church understand who we are, who by the grace of God that we are who we are, but that we also conduct ourselves as the church in the right manner. This dark world needs the light that can shine from the children of God, and it shines most brightly when we are acting as the church should act. So what I'd like to look at is particularly the damsel Ruth, and about, I think, if I remember correctly, five qualities that we'll find in Ruth that she exhibited, and how we should emulate those qualities as the Church of Jesus Christ. So turning to the book of Ruth, and not to get too much of the background, but Ruth is a Moabitess woman who was married to a Hebrew, and then he died. And of course, her mother-in-law, Naomi, was left without her husband, without her sons in this distant land of Moab. And in the first chapter of Ruth, she has decided that she would go back home to Israel, to her people, because there's bread. It's been reported that there's bread there. So we pick up reading about that. She, in verse 6, arose with her daughters-in-law. Now, there's two daughters-in-law. She had two sons. Ruth is one of the daughters-in-law, and the other one is named Orpah. And she tells him, basically, without going through the reading, she basically tells him she's going to go back home. And in verse 8, she tells the two daughters-in-law to go return each to her, their mother's house, to go back home. Now, what I have in the past neglected to notice is that both daughters-in-law loved Naomi. I mean, the book is about Ruth, so a lot of our focus is on Ruth. And Orpah goes back home. We know that she does not go with Naomi. But if you notice, she loved Naomi as well. And it says in verse 9 that she kissed them and they lifted up their voice and wept. Orpah is sad as well at this whole, all that has transpired. She's sad about her mother-in-law telling her to leave and for her to go home. Verse 10 says, and they said unto her, they both said, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. But what we notice is that in the end, Orpah kisses her mother-in-law and she goes back home to her people. She had said she was going to go with Naomi, but she did not follow through with that, that promise or that vow. The quality we see in Ruth in this is that she is faithful. She says she's going to do something. Surely I will go with thee. And then no amount of attempt to dissuade her is going to change her. She has made a promise. She is doing what she said to do, that she would do. It is very important as the church that we exhibit the same faithfulness. We're told in the New Testament that it is required of a steward that he be found faithful. We should be trustworthy to our word and to not only promises we make to people, but to the promise we made to the Lord, especially us that have joined the church and we have made that profession. In Hebrews, we're told to let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, in parentheses, he says why we should. He says, because he is faithful that promise. We should emulate our Lord in this. Now, each of the qualities that I want to mention tonight, what we're going to find is they're the very qualities that our Lord Jesus Christ himself possesses and exhibited in his life. We should be a faithful people, people that do what they say they will do, because the Lord is faithful. The Lord has done everything that he said he would do. He has promised to come and to save his people, and he did that. He said he would fulfill the will of his Father, and he completed that work. He kept his Father's will. He has promised us never to leave us nor forsake us, and never in the history of God's people can we look back and find where the Lord has forsaken his people. We do find where we have forsaken him. We find where we have been unfaithful to him, but he has never been unfaithful to his people. So we should emulate that as the church. If we are the bride of Christ, then as Ruth was faithful, we must be as well. She wasn't just faithful to go with Naomi, but she continued to care for her. We can find where in the second chapter, and there might be some jumping around here, but in the second chapter, in verse 2, she says to Naomi, this her mother-in-law, who's a widow, she says, let me go now and go to the field and glean ears of corn. She's saying, let me go and provide for our for us. She's going to care for Naomi. She's not just going to go with her, but she takes care of her. And we as the Church of Christ must be faithful to the commitment that we made to the Lord and to his people, and that we must care for one another. We need to communicate with one another. We need the fellowship that we find in the church to participate in each other's lives. It can't be one where we just come to Sunday morning worship and then we go about our daily lives. We are a body. We're not just a group. We're not just an organization. We're a body, and we're one body, members of each other in particular. So we must be faithful to that commitment that we made as a church to be together and to care for one another. Prayers, and the prayers that have been offered up for people tonight, that is part of it. But then there's more that we must do for one another. It is a beautiful thing to see the church caring for one another. Ruth didn't just care for her she wasn't just faithful to Naomi in private, but her faithfulness was well known among the people. If you notice when in chapter 2, when Boaz sees Ruth, he goes to his servants and he says, whose damsel is this? This is verse 5. And then in verse 6, they tell Boaz about her, who she is. But more than that, they tell Boaz what she's done. And down later when Boaz is speaking to Ruth, he tells her, verse 11, Boaz answers and says, "It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, how thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come to the people which thou knewest not. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord." It was reported, well known, that this was a faithful woman. That is something that needs to be well known of God's church, that we are a faithful people, that it needs to be something that we are known for. There's 1 Thessalonians. I think Paul talks about how knowing, brethren, thy election of God, but there's something else he says to them that he knows about. In 1 Thessalonians, verse 3, he says, remembering, and he's saying he's praying for them always, giving thanks, but remembering without ceasing your work of faith. To me, that means your faithfulness, your work of faithfulness, and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Further down, he says, verse 7, so that ye were in samples to all that believe. And verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. The report of the faithfulness of the church at Thessalonica had gone out, and Paul had heard it at other places. He didn't have to tell anybody about that church. It was well known about their works. We're to let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works. It should be well known that the Lord's church is a faithful people. Now, the next quality in Ruth that I want to mention is related to that. It's almost the same quality, but it's her steadfastness. Naomi continues to tell her in chapter 1 to go home. Why would you come with me? What's waiting for you? Ruth didn't know what was waiting for her. She didn't know what would come about, but Naomi was telling her to go home and to not keep her faithfulness. And it says, it's hard to skip verses that are so beautiful about entreat me not to leave thee, but I'm going to for time's sake. But verse 18 says, when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. That means Naomi quit. Naomi gave up trying to convince her to forsake her vow, her faithfulness to go with her. There is a lot of pressure in this world for God's people to forsake. There was pressure in the apostles' day. The whole letter of Hebrews is written to the Hebrew believers of Jesus Christ, to the church among the Hebrews, to convince them not to cast not away thy confidence, which has great recompense of reward. There's a lot of need to encourage one another to be steadfast. In one place it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the love of Christ. It needs to be so apparent that we are going to be firm and determined in our service to the Lord that people will just leave off speaking, that they won't even try. But that's not going to be until you've proven steadfastness. Naomi tried. Ruth made it clear that you might as well quit. And that's what people should, anyone who would try to persuade us to forsake our following of the Lord, they need to see that they might as well quit, that we are steadfast. The word steadfast involves strength, firmness, and courage. And it takes courage but that courage must come from the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we have to do that. That strength won't come from us, but that steadfastness can come from our faith. When we are, as Paul said, I am persuaded, I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Steadfastness is tied with faithfulness. If you're not steadfast, then eventually you will cease to be faithful. Ruth was also diligent. Now, those that would think that what we believe in salvation by grace would somehow cause us to have a laziness or what they say, to sit and do nothing, don't understand what grace really teaches and what grace is all about. And that the grace teaches us that we are to live soberly and godly in this present world, and that we believe that God has redeemed to himself a people that are zealous of good works, a peculiar people zealous of good works. We have to be diligent in that effort, though. So often I am not as diligent as I ought to be, but Ruth exhibited great diligence in her caring for Naomi. When we read about her going to glean in the field, we'll notice that she, the servants tell that, let's see, where does it say this? In verse 7, she said to the servants, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She came, she worked diligently, she worked all day, and she came to glean early in the morning. It reminds me of Abraham, who, when he was told to go and offer Isaac on the mount, that it says that he rose early. He didn't, well, I mean, I'm not necessarily one to always talk about being early, but we ought to be early. Not just early as in time, but early as in anxious and ready to go. In Psalm 63, it says, early will I seek thee, because he says, my flesh longeth for thee. Something that should be first on our minds, our service to the Lord. Ruth didn't just go early. She worked hard. She worked all day. Then, it doesn't say this, but this is something we have to just understand. You know what she was gleaning was barley or wheat. She wasn't out there picking up bread. Now, I've never eaten just barley or wheat. Okay, I eat bread. And to get it from barley to bread or wheat to bread takes a lot of efforts. It's not just pick up the wheat and low wheat, there's some bread. You have to take that wheat, you have to thresh it, and you have to winnow it and get rid of the chaff. Then you have to grind it. And I don't know how to make bread. I've never made bread from scratch. And some people make bread from scratch and they still haven't gone out and got the wheat themselves. So there's a lot of effort that Ruth put into this. She comes home with this gleaning, and you know, the grace of Boaz is like the grace of our Lord. She came home with those handfuls of purpose. She came home with far more than she should have or could have by her own efforts. But she threshed it out. She worked that until it was something that she could consume. Now, thankfully, the Lord provides for us the bread that we need. But there is some effort for us. You know, we don't just come to hear the word of God preached. Sometimes the Lord just feeds us. There's actually a verse that is related to that, because when Boaz tells her to come and to eat, it says in verse 14, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. She sat beside the reapers, and Boaz reached her parched corn and she did eat. Sometimes the Lord just feeds us by his hand. Sometimes, and I think a lot of times, that we need to glean from the scriptures, from the preaching, and from our own studies. And then we need to thresh it out. We need to study it. This isn't just for ministers. It's for every one of God's people to be diligent in studying the word of God. And that's when you will be able to have something that you can consume, something that can sustain you for this, you know, as Elijah, it said, he went on the strength of that meat 40 days. We need the meat that comes from the gospel, but it takes diligence. And then, let's see, I've talked about faithfulness and steadfastness and diligence. She was also humble. She didn't feel as if she was deserving of what Boaz was getting for her or blessing her with. Where does it say? It says in verse 10 of chapter 2, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? God's people must be humble. We must understand that it's all by grace. Even our timely salvation in the gospel that we need to be diligent about, that we need to press into the kingdom, is still ultimately by the grace of our Lord. That we are not deserving, as Abraham said of the, Jacob said, I'm not deserving of the least of the blessings of the Lord. Ruth was humble. The church must be a humble people. We can, as Paul writes to the Romans, to not be high-minded, but fear. You know, we don't deserve this great blessing of having the church, but having it, we need to press into this kingdom. Peter says to humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So the church must be humble, a humble people. And then lastly, I want to mention she was obedient. Let's see what time it is. Ruth was obedient. She was obedient, first of all, to Naomi, who told her what to do. Naomi tells her when, I think in the third chapter, when she says, first verse, now, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? And then now, is it not Boaz of our kindred? And she tells him, she tells her what to do, what she needs to do. And verse 5, Ruth says, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. All that thou sayest unto me. She's seeking rest for Naomi, for Ruth, but there's some obedience that Ruth needed to do to obtain that rest that Naomi desired for her. Now, there's a rest for us as the church, but there's obedience to enter into that. And we're told in Hebrews that let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. But that labor is in obedience. The Lord has commanded his people that believe on him to repent and be baptized through his apostles. Peter said, repent and be baptized when they asked, what shall we do? Well, I'll tell you what we shall do. We, first of all, repent. Second, be baptized. And that happened. You do that once, but that's not the end of the obedience. That's the beginning of a life of obedience to the Lord. If we would find rest, we must be an obedient people. It is in our nature to be a rebellious people, but we must be as the church, obedient. Now, with a few more minutes, I want to point out, as I already mentioned, that these things that we must be as the church, faithful and steadfast and diligent, humble and obedient. Our Lord is the perfect and most complete example of all of these things that we're to be. He was faithful. In Hebrews, it says he was faithful in all his house. The Lord is the epitome of faithfulness, of trustworthiness, that we can place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who cannot lie and has never forsaken his people. He is steadfast, unmovable. He's the rock. He's the foundation that cannot be shaken. The Lord is, as we're told, to hold fast our profession of faith, for he is faithful, that promise. Our Lord is diligent. He was always about his Father's business. He never shirked doing the will of God. He never seemed to even take a rest. There would be times where he would be all day long, and you thought he'd go a little ways to find some rest, and people would come to him to be healed, and he healed them. After a whole day of healing people and preaching to people, he didn't stop. When he was 12 years old, he was about his Father's business, and he never stopped. He was diligent, and when it came time for his hour to go to the cross, he set his face as it were a flint. That's diligence. Our Lord was humble. He took on himself the form of a servant and humbled himself. And then he was obedient. It said he was obedient even unto death. He was obedient to his Father's will. We are the church. And as the church, we must emulate our bridegroom, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. We must have all these qualities. Every day of our lives, we need to try to emulate this in our lives. And again, I'll close with that, and I pray that the Lord will bless us to glean from these things we can apply to ourselves. Brother James, thank you for your time.